KNOM Update News, I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. A Cessna 208 with two pilots on board crashed Tuesday evening outside of Bethel. Raven, Alaska spokesperson Steve Smith confirms the downed plane was a Hagelin Aviation training flight with two pilots on board and no passengers. The crash was about 20 miles northeast of Bethel. State troopers say the plane was overdue just after 6 o'clock Tuesday, and within an hour, a local pilot reported seeing burning wreckage to troopers. Clint Johnson is chief of the Alaska Regional Office of the National Transportation Safety Board. Johnson says a report came in of smoke on the horizon.
When they investigated it, they found what they believed was a Cessna 208 on the ground, and it looks like there was a pretty substantial post-crash fire. That's all that we know at this point right now, but we are very much in the formative stages.
Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says an Army National Guard Black Hawk responded with both troopers and fire personnel on board and has located the wreckage. As of last night, neither Peters nor Clint Johnson have information about the two pilots.
This is an active rescue at this point right now. Troopers have primacy and also the National Guard in Bethel there. We wait till they're done, and then we take the investigation from there. So at this point right now, it is an active search and rescue.
An NTSB investigator from Anchorage is traveling to Bethel today. Hagelin Aviation flies under the banner of Raven Connect, a company operated by Raven Alaska, formerly known as Era Alaska. The 2014 Koweric Regional Conference began yesterday at the Nome Rec Center. Elders, youths, and participants of all ages from the Bering Straits region sat in the audience during the opening ceremonies. In addition to performances by Head Start students, there were speeches by Mayor Denise Michaels, Koweric President Melanie Banke, and a keynote address by Liz Medicine Crow. The delegates and celebrants alike split off for the day for discussions, meetings, presentations, and assorted activities. Here's a roundup of some of the day's events. Two presenters spoke about native language preservation by detailing their work towards documenting and maintaining the Fish River Koweric dialect. Roy Agloinga began recording the Fish River Koweric dialect with his father, Stephen Agloinga, in 1996. Together with Luana Harrelson, their work responded to a community interest in reviving the language. In 2013, they published a Koweric dictionary with support from local volunteers, and Tupavik Incorporated, a nonprofit supported by local volunteers, specifically created for the Koweric language preservation. The dictionary is the first step towards language revitalization for the Fish River dialect. Agloinga and Harrelson said the recording and teaching grammar and sentence structure, place names, and traditional native names is essential to retaining community identity, as many Alaska Native concepts and beliefs cannot be fully translated into English. The presenters applauded communities that have developed Inupiaq and Yupik words for modern technologies, such as snow machines. Only 9 speakers of the dialect remain in Teller, White Mountain, Solomon, and Unalakleet, a 50% loss of native speakers since 2008. Nevertheless, Agloinga and Harrelson said language preservation is both vital and achievable for Alaska Native communities. Agloinga said the next phase for preserving the Fish River Koweric dialect will include an online course and archives of local, along with local mentoring programs involving both elders and youth. Also at the conference, during a session called Faces of Our Ancestors, 3 women from Nome discussed the decision and cultural history around face tattooing, including their own. Koweric Wellness Coordinator Marjorie Topbone explained her efforts at learning why and when Native women in the Bering Straits region earned tattoos. From talking with elders and in Alaska and Canada, she connected the tradition with a young woman's entrance into marriage eligibility and community responsibility. After graduating from college into a job, Topbone said she felt she'd earned the 3 vertical lines now on her chin. 2 other women spoke of similar decisions involving their personal decisions and how the designs they chose related to family and Inupiaq culture. The group addressed criticisms about whether or not the markings constituted respect for traditional culture. After 45 minutes, the speakers gave anyone interested the opportunity to draw a temporary tattoo of their own with eyeliner. In a following session held on the main floor of the conference, presenters addressed the strengthening of Alaska Native men. Speakers asked attendees to participate by gathering around tables to discuss the pressures and issues confronting men in the region. Answers ranged from alcoholism and lack of jobs to requests for more guidance and tools for subsistence hunting. Participants at the session ranged in age from teens to elders. Attendees also offered their solutions to the problems men face in rural communities. Ideas included IRA subsidies for subsistence supplies and more job training and cultural programming. In a final session, the conference heard from the Alaska Children's Trust, a statewide advocacy group working to prevent family trauma. Trevor Storrs represented the agency and spoke of the hope for trauma survivors and ways a community can help support these individuals. Storrs said community members must look below the surface and change our lens on how we view and help survivors. Also, communities must understand where victims are coming from and react with patience. Storrs said skills that can increase resiliency in those that have experienced trauma include setting clear and consistent boundaries, receiving care and support, and participating meaningfully in the community. The first day of the conference ended with dance performances by groups from Diomede, King Island, St. Lawrence Island, and Nome. Cody Blackbird, a Native American from South Dakota, played the flute, and past AFN president and current gubernatorial candidate Byron Malott spoke. The Kuwerik Regional Conference continues today through Thursday at the Nome Rec Center, and all are invited to attend. And Democratic gubernatorial candidate Byron Malott was in Nome Tuesday, speaking with KNOM ahead of other engagements in town. Malott says his biggest priority in the ongoing campaign is education.
I said at the outset that education was my top priority as a candidate, driven by, you know, a realization that we have to make hard choices based upon the revenues that are available to the state. But one of the things I found as a business person is that it is particularly when your resources are not what you'd like them to be, that you need to have clear priorities.
Malott explained the ways his own formal education had been instructive. In a very direct way, he says, boarding at Sitka's Sheldon Jackson High School put him in contact with other young Native men from around the state. And the lessons and relationships fostered then have shaped his approach to pursuing governance across the state's many diverse areas.
Kids from Kotzebue and Barrow and Kodiak and every other village and regional center, we knew one another. And so there was this incredible cadre of trust and networking that allowed us to come together very quickly at a critical time. And to move a place like Alaska down the road to our future, we really have to reach out to one another.
During a half hour of question and answers, Malott delved into other major issues he sees confronting Alaska. The candidate addressed substance abuse, domestic violence, and rural justice, framing them all as state problems rather than exclusive to areas on or off the road system. Speaking of his experience as the president of Sea Alaska, Malott says he believes harnessing the efficiencies and reach of corporations within the state is essential to distributing economic gains more broadly. And there's not one economic issue he sees affecting the state more acutely than the high cost of fuel and energy.
As I travel around, the high cost of living, the high cost of energy in communities around the state is very much a constant resonant theme. The idea that so much transportation costs in terms of home heating, in terms of electricity, those costs can cripple a community, can cripple a region, can cripple our state.
Another theme in Malott's discussion was that he's running for governor, not against Sean Parnell. And he went on to distance himself from the rhetorical acrimony that's colored many partisan statewide races so far in the election cycle. Later on yesterday, Malott addressed a gathering of officials from the Common Council, Joint Utility Board, Planning and Library Committees. He went on to speak at the Kuwerik Regional Conference on Monday evening. Checking the price of gold, it's down $2.20 to $1,305.80 an ounce. Silver is down 31 cents to $19.75 an ounce, and zinc is holding at 91 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 should arrive on time in Nome at 11:41 a.m., unofficially 4 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.